So good morning again and welcome. So good to see so many of you today. It's just one of those times where as we get closer to Easter, we get to see a lot of our friends and family and that sort of thing. And so it's so good to have so many of you here visiting and just hanging out with us, whether you're family of members or just here for the first time with us. We're honored that you would spend this time with us today. And so we're in a series titled I Am Jesus, and this is our fourth week in it, and we're going to wrap it up next week on Easter Sunday. What we're doing is just looking at some of the I am statements of Jesus, things that he said that are who he is. And one of the things that we are always meant to do is to be in a relationship with God, to be growing in that and reaching towards that close relationship. And it's, you know, it's hard to have a relationship with somebody if you don't know them. You know, some of you I've been developing relationships. Some of you I know really well. Some of you I barely know yet. But the hope is that as we spend time together, we'll get to know each other, and there'll just be a great relationship between us. And so that's why we're doing this series, is to draw us closer to him so that we know him better. And if we know him better, then we have that closer relationship. And when we have that relationship with God the Creator, then we can know why we're here. And I think so many people spend so much of their life searching for that answer. And so that's the way that you get it, is through that relationship with him. And so today we're going to be in John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up to John chapter 4. You have your phone with you. Maybe you have a Bible app. You can go ahead and get there. Or one of the great ways to do it is just go to the YouVersion. If you don't have that app, download that app sometime before next week. Come back, because we put our message notes on there, and you can. It's a great way to read the Bible throughout the week. But then today you can follow along with the message as well. And so we're going to be in here, and this is Jesus here talking to his 12 disciples. They're all there. They're in the room with him. They're having this time together. You know, Peter's there, big mouth Peter, who sometimes says stuff before he thinks. I can certainly identify with Peter. Sometimes I tend to not think things through before I say them, and it just comes out. And then you got to backpedal, right? Anybody with me? Yeah. Some of you I know need to raise your hand. Anyway, so here's Peter, big mouth Peter. Judas is there. Judas, who would betray Jesus, you know, and all of them are there while he's having this conversation with each one of them. John's there, his best friend, who wrote this account down, and just they're there hanging out. And it's a very important time. And so John chapter 14, we'll start in verse 1. If you can look on your program, the scriptures, part of it's there. It'll all be on the screen. You can read along. Here we go. Jesus says this: "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." We often hear this scripture read at a funeral, because it's a comforting scripture. And what Jesus is doing here is he's trying to comfort the disciples. He's trying to help them in a time where things are chaotic, is trying to really bring them to this place of comfort and peace. And as Jesus says, "I'll come back and get you," let me just tell you that I love where we live. I love Albemarle. It's a neat little town. I love Stanley County. I love North Carolina. I love America. If you've ever been out of America, you will know and have a greater love for America. But the older I get, the more I'm just ready for Jesus to come get me. Right? Like, I'm not in a hurry, because I love being here with my family and you guys and all. But I'm ready, because we see every day that the world changes and it gets worse and worse. And I'm ready for that, where there will be a time where he will make everything right. No more violence. You know, no more killing, no more shooting, no more anything like that. No more sexual assaults that we read about and hear about. No more of the kids, you know, dying way before their time, and no more pain, no more sorrow, no more any of the stuff that we have to encounter every day here on this earth. Jesus will come get us, and he'll take us to a place where if we have a relationship with him, that doesn't exist. And so we get to enjoy that. Verse 4, he says, "And you know the way to where I am going." And then Thomas speaks up. Thomas is one of these guys that, man, he's just honest. He says what he's thinking. Even when the question, and ask some questions that really just don't make a lot of sense. But he says, "No, we don't, Lord. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Man, there's something to be said for honesty, isn't there? Somebody who just thinks something and says it. Now, there is a limit to that. I just want to help you understand that some of you that just say, "Well, that's just the way it is. I'm going to tell it like it is." Well, sometimes you probably shouldn't do that. But we need to be honest, and we can do that in love. And then here's Thomas. He's just being honest. You know, when we're honest, when you're younger, it seems that you can get away with honesty a little bit better. Isn't that right? You know, if a kid says something that's really blunt, blunt and honest, we tend to give them a little grace, don't we? We tend to give them a little bit of leeway. But as we get older, it doesn't work that way. But I was thinking, it reminds me of some letters that, in this honesty thing that kids wrote to their pastor. And here's what the honesty of children says sometimes. It says, "Dear pastor, are there any devils on earth? I think there may be one in my class." Right? That's Carl, age 10. Arnold, age 8, says, "I know God loves everybody, but he never met my sister. Yours sincerely, Arnold." Said, "I'm sorry, I can't leave more money in the plate, but my father didn't give me a raise in my allowance. Could you have a sermon about a raise in my allowance? Love, Patty." Not you, Patty. Age 10. So maybe I should have a sermon about raising allowances. Stephen says this, "I would like to go to heaven someday because I know my brother won't be there." Yeah, I remember praying that prayer. Anyway, I remember that prayer. "I think a lot of people would come to your church if you moved it to Disneyland." I keep telling y'all, we need some rides out in the grass, and people will come. We can draw them in. "Oh, my father says I should learn the Ten Commandments, but I don't think I want to because we have enough rules around my house already." Sounds like my house. All right, Marie, it says, "How does God know the good people from the bad people? Do you tell him, or does he read about it in the newspaper?" "My father should be a minister," says Robert. "Every day he gives us a sermon about something." My girls would definitely agree with that one on this pastor for sure. Ellen says this, "I hope to go to heaven someday, but later than sooner." I would agree. But then Ralph said this to his pastor, "I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it finished." I get those emails too. Anyway, so honesty is one of those things we can just do. And when we're young, we get away with it. But here's Thomas being this honest guy where he just says, "Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about." You ever felt that way? Like you read the Bible and you're like, "I just don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. I don't know what this means." And Thomas is like, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're saying. And this is one of the guys that hung out with Jesus all the time, right? He was there when Jesus did all the things that he did and said all the things that he said. But he says, "Listen, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're saying. Can I just tell you today that sometimes it's okay to just not know what Jesus is talking about?" I think as believers, we are often trying to figure everything out, and sometimes there's just things that we don't need to understand. We just need to do what he tells us to do. We're trying to rationalize some things, and that's what Thomas is doing. He's totally missing Jesus' point here by trying to make it more than it is, and I think we're often guilty of that too. But here's what Jesus says, and let me just say, when that happens, when we don't understand Jesus and some of the things that the Bible says to us and all that, listen, he doesn't rebuke us for that. He doesn't get mad at us for that. He understands that, and he wants to teach us that if we'll just ask. But here's what Jesus does. He does us that. He explains it. He says, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Thomas says, we don't know the way to go. And Jesus says, oh yeah, you do. You know me. I'm it. I'm the way to where I'm going, and you've got to go this way. Now, this is the scripture we're going to focus in on today. Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And he says that if we want to know God, and we got to know him, we got to go through him to get to him, because that's the way. If you want to know what God is like, listen, get to know Jesus. Get to understand who he is. And how do you do that? Well, you know, we can't physically hang out with him, but certainly we can spiritually, and certainly we can as we read the Bible that he wrote for us, and as he gives us an opportunity to know him. He's the truth. Listen, the world is going to scream lies at us all day long. Every single day, the world is telling us that things are to be a certain way, and that things are this way. But the truth is that Jesus is going to give it to us straight, and he's going to tell us that's not the way. This is, and he is the way. Jesus is life. And there's more to just living. I think we've become so accustomed to just getting up, doing what we got to do, and going to bed so that we can get up and do it again tomorrow. But Jesus says, no, I'm the life, and there's more to it than just me, or just the world, just living it out the way that if you come to me, that I'm going to show you how to live. I'm going to show you what real life is really all about. Life that you're not going to find, you know, through a good diet and exercise and good sleeping habits. You're not going to find it there. You're not going to find it by abstaining from all the bad things. You're not going to find it by just trying to be good. No, you're going to find it by knowing Jesus and living in the life that he has for you. It's about knowing this life that God wants you to have. And that sounds like a really arrogant statement, doesn't it? For Jesus to say that I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. It could be really arrogant if we really look at it. But listen, if a surgeon comes to you and says, listen, you've got this wrong with you, and if I operate on you, I can save your life. Now, are we going to say, what an arrogant jerk. I'm not getting that surgery. He's just a jerk. No. Because we're going to get that surgery, because if he says that he can do the surgery and heal us and take care of what's going on with us, we're going to do it, aren't we? And Jesus is doing the same thing. He's just telling the truth about who he is and what he wants for us. It's not an arrogant statement at all. It's a fact. And he lives that out so that you and I can know. And he's just simply telling the truth for us all. He goes on in verse 7. He says, if you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then there's Philip. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus just got through telling him, listen, if you know me, I'm him. This is it. And Philip says, if you'll just show him to us, let us see him, we'll be satisfied. He was, as a Jew, they wanted to know God. They wanted a relationship with him, and they wanted this intimate thing. They want to know what the Father was like. And Jesus says, listen, if you know me, you know him. Verse 9, Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. Jesus is teaching these guys some very important things. He's teaching about who he is, and that if we can begin to have a relationship with him and begin to know Jesus, then we'll know God and we'll know the one who made us. There is this time that he spent with them teaching them this thing, these truths. And so today I want us to spend our time looking at this same scripture and pulling out the truths that he's trying to get us to understand here. There are two kind of people here today. Only two. There are those who have made a decision to accept Christ as their Savior. There are those in the room that who believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he came, that he lived a sinless, perfect life, that he died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, that he died on that cross, he was taken, put into a tomb, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And who, those are here today who believe that he did that for to pay the price for our sin. That he did that for a very specific purpose, and as they believe that and trust that, that they receive him as their Savior. That they've been forgiven of their sins, they've repented, they've changed their whole way of thinking to line it up with God, and they're doing the absolute best that they can to live that faith out every single day as he guides them and as they follow him. There are those who have made that decision. And then there's the other group that are here, who've never made that decision. Maybe you've given up on God. Maybe you've given up on church. Maybe you've given up on this whole Jesus thing, and you've just said, "Nope, I don't have that relationship. I don't trust that yet. I don't believe that. I'm not making that choice. I'm just not gonna go there." So let me just tell you, if that's you, we're glad you're here. And maybe you're here not because of your choice. Maybe you're here because somebody got you to come and worried you till you didn't, you know, till you just didn't have a choice. Maybe you showed up here today to just shut somebody up. Well, let me just tell you, I'm glad that you're here. Because you're probably not alone. But let me just tell you that there are two groups of people here, those who have accepted Christ and those who haven't yet. But Jesus has something for all of us here today, no matter where we find ourselves on that spectrum. And so today I want us to look and understand what he has for us. If you're already a follower of Jesus, listen, he's got something for you. He's got a deeper relationship. He's got more that he wants you to know and to grow in. If you don't know him yet, he's got something for you. He's got the way. He's got the truth. And he's got the life that you're searching for. And he wants you to have those things. And so today I want us to be able to come to a place where we just get really honest about where we are and then let him give us what it is that he wants us to have. So today, let's just dig in. Let's get into the scriptures and let's begin to see what he has for us. And so as we look at these scriptures, as we kind of look at the context, we've got to understand it for it to really make a difference to us. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and then I'm going to answer them for you. How's that? It's a pretty easy test, right? My daughter would love to have that test every day at school. So here's what it is. The first one is this. Where are they? Well, the answer is they're in the upper room. This was a room that, it was a physical room. It was a place that they were. It was a place that they gathered to have this Last Supper together. It was a place that they gathered to spend time together. And Jesus is using this moment to teach the disciples some very important things. He's letting them understand more about him and more of what he has for them. And so it's the place where he spent his very last moments on earth in freedom with these guys. It was a physical location, but it has this incredible context to it. This the one who created water in the very beginning would take that same water and kneel down and wash the feet of the disciples. He would do the job of the lowest of low of servants there with something that he created and for those that he had created as well. It's a place where he would tell them things that were about to happen. It was a place where he brought them to give them peace and comfort. It was a place that was important. So where are they? They're in the upper room. When is this? Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you." He's comforting them. Why? because this is just hours before his arrest and his execution. It was a moment where he would be betrayed and he would be arrested and then taken and beaten, and then he would be nailed to that cross. And this is just moments, just hours before this would happen. And so the disciples are in a very confusing and troubling time. Jesus is saying some things that they're just not understanding. And they're about to go through some things that are going to be tough on them, that are going to strain them to the max. And Jesus is giving them these words. They're not sure what's going to happen next. It's about to get super ugly for them. And man, life is going to change drastically. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're not sure about where life's going next. Maybe you're not sure what's right around the corner. Maybe you're in some pretty troubling times right now. Maybe you're dealing with some things that are confusing you, and maybe that have you very much troubled. Maybe your marriage is about to fall apart. Maybe you're just not sure if it's going to make it. Maybe you're at a place where you're ready to get out. Maybe you're at a place where you're ready to step out. Do some things outside of your marriage that you shouldn't do. Maybe it's that you're looking at a bottle of pills and thinking, man, maybe the answer's there. Maybe it's a bottle that you're thinking, man, if I can just get one more in me, life will be good. If I can just get the edge off, things will be better. Maybe you're at a really confusing and troubling time in your life. Maybe you're losing your cool way too much and doing some things and saying some things that you shouldn't say. We've all got a where and a when. See, the disciples were in the upper room, and they were just hours before Jesus would go through this traumatic time and tragic time, but yet some of us in the room are at the same place where we're just wondering what's about to happen. I just don't know what they're going to do. So I want you to understand that Jesus understands, and he wants to speak words of comfort and peace to you, and so he's doing that for the disciples, and he wants to do that for me and for you. The next question is this: what's happened? And the answer is Jesus has predicted betrayal and denial by his disciples. Man, he's just told them, listen, one of you is going to give me up for a little money. One of you is going to have a chance to stand with me, but you're going to deny me. You're going to pretend like you don't know me. Pretend like you never spent the times with me that you've spent with me. You're going to deny that you even have any knowledge of me whatsoever. What's the feeling? I think it's feelings that we can certainly identify with. It's fear and uncertainty, despair, trouble. There's no cool worship music. There's no exciting time together to lift them up. Jesus is basically just saying, listen, I'm here to tell you what's going to happen. I want you to understand some things. Jesus and his disciples, he's overcome. Jesus is there overcome with grief, knowing that the cross is waiting on him. Knowing that he's going to go through the incredible pain of torture and beating, and that he's going to be nailed to that cross and he's going to give his life. He knows that the disciples are afraid and they're going to be left wondering what in the world's next. And so he tries to help them understand what's going on. In the scriptures, this word that where he talks about don't let your hearts be troubled, it's a Greek word that's used there in the original writings, that teresesto. And teresesto is a word that means deeply troubled. churned up and unsettled. He's saying, don't let your hearts be churned up. Don't let them be unsettled. Don't let them be disturbed. Because there's hope. It's the same message that you and I need to hear today, that we don't need to let our hearts be troubled and churned up and in despair and in fear. We need to understand that Jesus is there to comfort us. Unless you're living in the backwoods of Montgomery County, you're going to... Just email me. No, unless you're living under a rock. Anybody live in Anson County? Okay, unless you're living under a rock in Anson County, how's that? Is that better? You're going to go through trouble. You're going to have bad times. Things are just going to stink at times. Life is going to be hard. It's not going to go the way that you always want it to go. It's not going to look like, you know, the cover of, you know, Country Living magazine all the time. It's going to be tough. Jesus says, listen, you don't have to let your hearts be troubled. See, I know what it's like to walk into a room and the doctor say, I'm not sure that the one that you love is going to make it. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to sit and wait for surgery to happen and not knowing what the outcome of that's going to be. I know what it's like to bury somebody that I love. I know what it's like to stand with somebody who's lost somebody that they love. I know what it's like to go through those things, and we're all going to experience them. But Jesus says, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. When Jesus says this, he knows where they are. He knows what's happening. He knows the whole thing. And this word, terasesto, is to describe the feelings that he would experience. So you see the word two other times in the scriptures. One time where the paralytic is hoping to get into the pool of Bethesda and be healed. He's hoping that when the waters churn up, that if he can just get in there, that there's a miracle that'll happen. Because it's something that's intense and that happens. This churning is not just a little you know, dribble along the surface. No, it's a churning from the very bottom of it. The other time is when Jesus comes to the house of Mary and Martha after Lazarus has died, and it says that Jesus, when he sees their grief, is just, he's troubled inside. So he knows what it's like to experience those things that you experience. And so you and I are not the only ones to feel this. You and I are not the only ones that have to go through pain. Jesus knows those feelings. And in the upper room, Jesus knows that he's going to be betrayed, that somebody's just going to turn their back on him. He knows that somebody's going to say, I don't know that guy. He knows all of those things are happening, yet he's still trying to give this comfort to them. See, the disciples are in this upper room, but really what the upper room was for them was a waiting room. It was a place where they were having to wait for what was next. And some of us have spent some time in some waiting rooms. Maybe at the hospital, you've been in a physical waiting room where you've had to wait for the outcome of something to happen, but some of us are waiting on what God has next. That we're in the middle of a situation and we're just not sure what's coming next. And Jesus says that we need to understand that there is comfort and peace that we can find there. When you're waiting on something, maybe it's just God to answer this prayer that you've been praying for such a long time. But here's what you need to know, that the waiting is not wasted. When you're waiting on God. The waiting's not wasted when you're waiting on God. God can do something in our waiting that we could never do any other way. There's things that he can teach us in our waiting times that we would never learn any other way. The waiting is sometimes the only thing that really gets our attention long enough to focus on God and really ask Him for what He wants. And so the waiting room is an important place for us. It's a place that we can spend time and begin to understand what He wants for us. So we need to understand that the waiting is not wasted when we're waiting on God. Let me just be completely honest and blunt with you, okay, since we said we could do that, and you just had to let me get away with it. But here's the truth. You're all going to have to wait. You're all going to have to wait. I'm going to have to wait. There are going to be things in our lives that we're just going to have to wait on. That God's not some cosmic, drive-through that we can just run up, order what we want, and get it quickly. Can't do that here in Albemarle either. But anyway, God's not that. He's not there to just hear our cries and answer immediately. If He did that, we'd never learn to trust Him. We'd never learn to rely on Him. And we would only look at Him to be just some crazy, cosmic Amazon. Right? We'd expect Him to just deliver everything in 2 days. But it's not the truth. We're all going to have to wait. It's not fun, but you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait for Him to answer. Jesus was waiting on the cross here. But He's waiting on the cross to show me and you the empty tomb. He was waiting here on this moment to be able to show us the true love and power that He has for us. See, listen. Your team may not come through for you. Right? Mine's at home watching on the sofa. Right? Our team may not come through for us. Especially if you're a Panther fan. Sorry. Just couldn't resist. Your politicians may not come through for you. Your 401k might not be quite big enough to get you all the way through. Your spouse may not give you everything that you need. But here's the truth, that Jesus will always be there for you. There are promises. He has promised to never leave us, never forsake us. That He would always be there for us. When we can trust Him. When you're waiting on God, listen, your waiting is not wasted. In times of trouble, we all go through trouble, but in times of trouble, let Jesus talk and listen to His truth. If there's something that we have trouble with, it's letting Jesus talk. We're really good at talking to Him. And we're really good at placing our order and telling Him all that we want. But we have a really hard time listening. But when we're in the middle of something tragic, we're in the middle of something difficult, as hard as it may be, the one thing that we need to do is be able to let Jesus talk and listen to what He says. We usually listen to the crazy voices in our head, don't we? Come on, anybody got crazy voices in their head? I got crazy voices in my head. Now, I know for some of y'all that may not surprise you, right? You think I'm a little crazy anyway. But no, what I'm talking about is the things that you hear every time you go to try to do something. You can't do that. You're not good enough for that. You're not pretty enough. You're not tall enough. You're not thin enough. You're not whatever enough. You're not smart enough. Right? You can't do that. It's never been done before. You can't succeed at that because remember who your family is. See, there's those voices that talk to us all the time, and those aren't the voices of the one who loves us. Those are the voices of the enemy who wants to keep us as far away from trusting and listening to God as possible. We need to tell the crazy voices to shut up. We just need to tell them to stop and quit listening to what they say. We need to be able to do it. Next time you get a headache and that, ooh, I got a tumor, that thought comes to mind, don't panic. It's just a headache. If it comes back, well, then you can begin to worry about it, right? There's plenty of time to worry about everything. But we really, in times of trouble, shouldn't worry either. We need to let Jesus speak to us and listen to him. Right? Your kid's 2 minutes late. Don't call the FBI. Just hang on. Call them. Or get Life 360 on your phone and their phone, and you'll know exactly where they are. Sorry, kids. So, don't listen to the voices that tell you to panic. Listen to the voices that tell you to listen to him and trust him in everything that we do. Jesus will always speak truth to us. He'll never tell us a lie. When we listen to him and we follow him, we will be exactly where he wants us to be. He takes us beyond betrayal. He takes us beyond denial and beyond the negativity. Trust him to be who he says he is. Maybe you're going to have to turn off Fox News. Maybe you're going to have to turn off CNN. Maybe you're going to have to put down the newspaper. But I got a better idea for all of those. Put them down and pick up your Bible. It's the most relevant and the most current message that we have from God. It's the way to know how to handle everything. He teaches us all of that in the scriptures. So when times get tough, listen to him and trust him. Jesus was prepared for the pain by believing God's promises. He was prepared for the pain by believing God's promises. Listen, Jesus was able to handle what he handled and go through what he went through, not just because he was God. He was a man. He was in human flesh here, but he was able to go through that because he knew what God had promised to do, that God would finish what he had started, that God wouldn't take him that far and to only desert him. He could trust him to be who he knew God to be. And if you know Jesus, then you don't have to let your heart be troubled. You can trust him wherever you are. You can handle the pain of where you are today, knowing that he's going to take you through that. You can trust him. We need to know the way because we all get lost. We need to know the way because we all get lost. He's telling us that when you lose your way, listen, when you lose your way, you can come back. What an incredible story. What an incredible hope that we have that whether we're head deep into our relationship with God or we've kind of let it drift away and we're just not where we need to be, that we can always come back. That he's waiting on us. That we all get lost and we can know the way. One of the coolest things I heard out of the time of Billy Graham's death was one of his daughters describing the time where she got married and realized she'd made a mistake. And she left her husband and she came home thinking that her family was not gonna be there for her, was gonna be harsh on her and give her a hard time because it's Billy Graham and he knows what the scripture says and all of that. But she said when she drove home and she rounded the corner, there was her dad standing there waiting on her. What an amazing story. You need to know that's Jesus too. That was Billy Graham being Jesus in the flesh. That was him showing and following the example that Jesus had already set. We need to know that when we get lost, we can come back. That if you're lost in your marriage, listen, come back to Jesus. Get your relationship right with him because you can't fix your marriage without fixing your relationship with Jesus first. I'm just being honest with you. And whether your partner decides to do that, you can't handle that, but you're responsible for your relationship. If you're lost in your decisions and you've made some terrible ones, guess what? You can come back. He's waiting on you with open arms to welcome you back in. That's the truth of who Jesus is. He's the way, and he's the truth. And it all starts in that relationship with him. We need to know the truth because we all believe lies. We need to know the truth because we all believe lies. Man, I don't know about you, but I can remember things that were said to me when I was a kid. You know, I'm so fortunate I had parents who loved me and supported me in everything that I did. But man, there were some other voices that were talking to me that told me some things that have been hard for me to overcome. They still are. I still think about them. Sometimes when I know I'm supposed to do something that God's told me to do, I hear those voices. I see those faces still there trying to hold me back. We'll believe lies if we just stay with who we are, but listen, we need to know the truth. And Jesus is that truth. We were made in his image. Therefore, we are special. We have purpose and we have meaning. And your life matters. And we get to listen to the one who made us. And we get to do what he made us for if we'll just listen. And we need to know the life because we're all dying. We need to know the life because we're all dying. Well, that's a feel-good message, isn't it? Y'all see you're all so happy about that. But it's true. We're all dying. The Bible says that there's a time for us to be born and a time for us to die. And we're all going to go at some point. And you know, the longer that I work at the funeral home, the more I realize that you're not guaranteed anything. I've buried people a lot younger than me, and I've buried people same age as me, and I've buried people older than me. See, we're not guaranteed anything. Except that Jesus is the way, that he is the truth, that he is the life. When I hit 49 this year, it really began to kind of dawn on me that, man, I'm kind of going downhill. I didn't hit the peak somewhere, I'm sure. I'm headed down the hill. And some days it feels like I'm going faster than others. But you begin to put things in perspective and you begin to look at it differently and understand that we need this life that we have to live it out to the fullest every day that we have an opportunity to live it. And the only way to live it out fully is to live it out knowing how why we're here and how we're to live it out. And that comes from that relationship with Jesus. When you have a relationship with him, listen, you get to live out this life. I serve a God that's way greater than a grave. And so I can enjoy this life while I'm here, knowing that he has put me here for a reason. Jesus said he would overcome death, and he did it. And because of that, you and I can know and we can trust him in that. I heard the story of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was said to be the greatest of military leaders. That he just unstoppable. And he went and he conquered land after land after land. And he just amazing how he could go and take all of these lands. And he would have had castles and palaces and all of this stuff. And it said that one day Alexander the Great was seen by one of his servants sitting on the steps of one of his palaces with his hands and his face in his hands. And the servant went up to him and said, "Alexander, what's wrong?" He said, "I've conquered everything. There's nothing left for me to conquer." See, all that he had been able to do, all that he'd been able to overcome, he found himself at a place where there was still no fulfillment to it. Though he had conquered all of those things, by the age of 30, great military leader, great overcomer, found himself at a place where he felt unfulfilled. Felt like there was nothing else left for him. And it said that only weeks later he would be bitten by a mosquito, contract malaria, and he would die. You see, even the greatest conqueror of all time couldn't conquer death. But Jesus did. He overcame death. He overcame that death on the cross where he paid the price for our sins. He was put in that tomb, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He overcame that, and so because of that, we can know and be able to trust in him for who he is. Jesus has a life for you and me that's beyond anything we can imagine. A life that goes beyond just day-to-day living. Abundance, fulfillment, and being able to trust the one who made us. Jesus, here's Jesus has already faced and defeated everything you're afraid of. So follow him. He's already faced and defeated everything that you're afraid of. Everything that you've been afraid to conquer, everything that you've been afraid to go against, everything that you've been afraid to overcome in your life. He's conquered it all. Even death. So because of that, you can follow him. There's no other reason that you can think of to follow Jesus. It should be that he's overcome everything for you so that you can have a relationship with him. So here's the question. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for the place that Jesus is preparing for you? Are you ready? Are you looking forward to that day? Have you come to a place where you've made a decision to accept him and that place that he's preparing to be ready for you? Because if it all comes down to that you have to come to a place, you're either prepared or you're not. Remember, there's two types of people, those that have accepted that place and those who have yet to do that. Let me tell you, if that's you today that you've yet to do that, you can. It comes down to this. Trust Jesus for who he is. He's God's son that came and lived a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross to pay the price for your sin and my sin. Died on that cross, was taken, buried, and on the third day was raised again so that you and I can be forgiven of our sin, that we can be restored in a relationship with God for all eternity. You get to choose. Jesus says, I am the way. If you don't know him, you don't know the way. He says he is the truth. If you don't know him, you don't know the truth. And he says, I am the life. And if you don't know him, you don't really truly have life. Are you prepared? God, we pray today that you would prepare us. God, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would listen to you today, God, that we would be willing to do whatever it is that we need to do to truly experience you. God, next week we're going to gather together and we're going to celebrate the moment that you came out of that tomb. We're going to celebrate the fact that you overcame death, that you gave your life for us. And if you'd done nothing else, that would have been enough. But God, you didn't let your son Jesus stay dead. You raised him. And so today, God, I pray that if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, that's not prepared for that home that you're preparing for them, that God, this would be the moment that they would get prepared, that they would accept you. simply confess their sins before you, acknowledge Jesus for who he is, and accept him as Lord and Savior, Lord and guide, Lord and number one in their life. So God, I don't know what you need to do with hearts today. God, maybe some of us have forgotten the way. Maybe we've been listening to lies. Maybe we just haven't had a life. God, speak to us today. May we be willing to do whatever it takes to know you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.